We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome into the PHNX Diamondbacks podcast. My name is Jesse Friedman. This guy is Jacob Franklin. No, Derek is not back from Disneyland yet. We're getting there. Isaiah says, hello, Jesse, Jacob, and Michaela. Unfortunately, Michaela is not joining us today.
No, Michaela will not be with us.
You're just stuck with the two tall white guys in the office. this is the tall white guy show. Anyway, this show is brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's number one rated sportsbook app. Jacob, we are about 24 hours away from the Major League Baseball trade deadline. And not much is happening.
Crickets. Yeah. I feel like this is pretty prototypical for the MLB trade deadline where you might get a few deals that trickle through. And I think the Josh Hader deal kind of took everybody by surprise especially made shockwaves through the West. But other than that, you haven't seen really anything and you're not hearing anything other than the Soto stuff. And you probably won't, honestly.
Yeah, it seems like Juan Soto is very much holding up the market at this point, which is a pretty common thing if there's one really, really big name out there like a Juan Soto available, that kind of holds things up a little bit. But we did have a couple of trades go down today. Josh Hader is now a San Diego Padre. That figures to be one of about 14 moves that AJ Preller makes in the next 24 hours, just given his history. So I'm sure the Padres are probably not done. But beyond that, I think we had a reliever move earlier. Scott Efros was traded from the Chicago Cubs to the New York Yankees. But yeah, other than that, not a whole lot happening at this point. So hopefully the next 24 hours will be a little bit more exciting than what we've seen so far.
I think the bigger news about the Hader move is what the Padres didn't give up in that deal. You look at the players that went through. They traded away Rogers, the closer. They traded away a couple prospects, but they didn't give up Abrams. They didn't give up their first, second, or fourth prospects that are all projected to go in a Soto deal if they were to make that deal. So they basically just left themselves with an open door for Soto. None of the guys that are projected to go away in a deal that big were on the move for Hader.
The biggest name in my mind was honestly Denelson Lamet, just given that he's been a pretty darn good starting pitcher in the past. I know injuries have very much hindered his major league career. Michael McDermott says in the comments, Soto is down to Cardinals and Padres, in my opinion. Dodgers are named, but they don't offer anywhere close to the trade package the Cardinals can put up. And yeah, I think that's fair. It feels like anytime there's a big name on the market, the Dodgers are just like, they're always in the mix.
Well, they can pay them.
They always have the money and their farm system is always good. So they always have like the prospect capital that it would take in order to make one of those moves. But it is true. You don't often see the Dodgers like actually pull the trigger on some of these trade deadline things. But although we have seen it before, it has happened before.
It just makes baseball, like when the Dodgers make a move like this, it just makes baseball so much, like it is just not fun to watch baseball.
Yes.
After that, like if the Dodgers
get
one Soto.
Best team in baseball adds like the best player in baseball.
And then you have a 2-3-4 of Mookie Betts, Juan Soto, and Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
Oh, and not to mention you also have Chris Taylor. You have Justin Turner.
You know,
you have Cody Bellinger.
There was a time when I would defend the Dodgers on some level. I would never defend the Dodgers like all out, right? I mean, that would be heresy. But I have defended the Dodgers in the past, and a lot of people have said that the Dodgers are the type of team that just goes out there and spends all sorts of money, and you know, they sign away every other team's best player, and that's how they get good. For a while, that wasn't really true. Like Cody Bellinger was like their best player. Justin Turner, you know, Chris Taylor, like you mentioned. A lot of their pitchers like Kershaw and Walker Buehler, like all homegrown guys, right? So I really think that that wasn't true for a while. But now
we're starting to get back to
it. I mean, their best players are Freddie Freeman and Trey Turner and Mookie Betts.
Yep.
And if they got Juan Soto, it would be like they're like the reason they are a good baseball team is because they have the ability to pay all these guys that other teams couldn't pay. And granted, they have a lot of good prospects and they had to give up a lot to get some of those guys. But there you go. There are my musings for the the Dodgers for today.
I've felt really nervous about Juan Soto coming to the National League West for a while. I think all D-backs fans have the timeline in their head that 2 years from now, you're hopefully competing for a playoff spot.
Sure.
Maybe getting into the mode where you're going to compete to see possibly if you can get to the World Series. But if Juan Soto comes to the National League West, does that not just throw a huge wrench into those plans?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's... I don't even know if I can talk about it without
I mean, I guess... Do you think the team that trades for Juan Soto, if he is traded, which if not this trade deadline, it probably will happen at some point. Do you think there's there's a chance that whatever team trades for him doesn't re-sign him in a couple of years?
I guess a better question is what team can re-sign him for $500 million.
Right.
There's not a lot of teams that are going to be willing to spend that type of money.
That's true.
Which is why it's almost been a surprise that the Cardinals are in on it. And it feels like the Cardinals are the team that if they do make that trade, they're not going to be able to sign him.
Yeah.
Like it just feels like there's too much going on in St. Louis. They're not usually as competitive as that, you know, after these free agents. The Dodgers for sure could sign him. So I think that's something that they would work on. The Padres... To me, the Padres are in a really weird spot because they've got this owner that's just dumping money right now. Just left and right
and
dumping
money.
It's
not really working.
And when are you going to start feeling the effects of that? Like, are you really ready to go into the luxury tax equal to the Dodgers? Like, you're probably not. And so to me, the Padres are so up in the air on whether or not I could see them re-signing him because... On top of this, they've got a ton of kids that they're going to have to re-sign too.
Like,
they got Tatis signed, but what are you going to do with the rest of your prospects?
Yeah, yeah, it's a great point. The Padres are, their farm system somehow is still pretty loaded. I mean, they've just had, they've drafted well. They have a lot of good young players in that system still. But yeah, there is a part of me, Jacob, that wonders if it might not be the worst thing in the world for other teams in the NL West if the Padres like... completely gut their farm system making some of these moves, because in my mind that's the most like fearsome part of the Padres is what they could be if like a lot of these young guys actually come up and actually perform. You know, if you trade a whole bunch of them for one guy who's only there for 2 years, in some ways that doesn't necessarily feel like a bad thing, I guess. Although if Juan Soto winds up there for 15 years, then that's unfortunate.
It does hurt a little bit.
But
it's okay. He's got the marine layer when he's in San Diego.
Right.
So you're hoping that the marine layer weighs him down a little bit more.
I'm sure that will happen. As far as the Diamondbacks are concerned, Zach Davies was our thumbnail picture today for a reason. He is making the start today, which is a little bit surprising, just kind of extrapolating his pitch counts and what he'd been working on over the last couple weeks. I was pegging like mid-August as the most likely return for Zach Davies. So this is really a couple weeks ahead of schedule. And for me and for probably a lot of people out there, this sort of feels like an audition. Like
I was literally about to say, is this just an audition for tomorrow?
It is 100%, at least in my mind. I think it's a trade deadline audition. There's no reason for the Diamondbacks to try to like rush back Zach Davies in order. I know they're a little bit thin right now with Tyler Gilbert out, but there's really no reason they had to do this other than to possibly See what Zach Davies could do and if he could possibly attract a trade suitor. Michael McDermott says in the chat, Davies is not going to pick up his half of the mutual option, which is 100% correct. The Diamondbacks will lose Zach Davies at the end of the season unless they try to come up with some other deal to bring him back. And that doesn't seem particularly likely.
No, and Zach Davies has been a nice piece rotationally for them.
Yeah,
I think it was just kind of a flyer deal in terms of you needed a roster spot filled, you needed a rotation spot filled. Your younger arms probably weren't ready for that spot.
Sure.
I mean, they weren't committal to Tyler Gilbert filling that spot. You didn't know what you had in some of the minor league arms at the time. So Zach Davies was a guy coming off a bad year, but had a proven track record of being a good 4-5, at best maybe a 3, and filling into that hole that you needed to fill. But I think going forward, the D-backs are going to be really reliant on their farm system, whether the numbers look great in Reno or not. I think that they're finally feeling like they're in a space where they can see what they have.
Yeah.
And so Davies isn't really in the picture going forward. So to me, I'm really curious to see how he does today, because unfortunately he lost a couple months of time to showcase what he had for contenders. And now it's kind of like, do you trust what you see tonight, or are you?
Yeah. Yeah. This is a pretty big outing. I mean, if he goes out there and gets destroyed, then Zach Davies is probably going to stay with the Diamondbacks. Yeah. And if he goes out there and really pitches well, they're probably going to find a way to trade him, would be my guess. And I have to admit, Jacob, on the conversation that we were having a couple days ago about the over-under on 2.5 major
league
players.
Starting to not feel so confident.
You know, I was taking the under, but now that Zach Davies is suddenly back in the picture, I kind of want to take the over, because I do think the D-backs will move either Ian Kennedy or Joe Mantiply. And I think that, at least right now, it seems fairly likely that Zach Davies could get moved now that he's starting in this game. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens tonight in this one. Regardless, it's good to have Zach Davies back. The Diamondbacks really missed his presence in the rotation. He hasn't been an ace, but he's been very, very steady for them this season. But more important than any of these things, Jacob, did you hear about Seiya Suzuki's hot dog order?
Like, I didn't.
Like his toppings?
I didn't, but he's in Chicago, which makes me think they're probably trash.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. So I'm curious what everyone in the chat has to say about this, and of course what you have to say, Jacob. Leah, if you want to chime in on this too.
At Craig Morgan.
Yes, also we want to know what Craig thinks. All right, so he said this, right? They asked him on the broadcast, and Seiya Suzuki said that on a hot dog, he wants jalapenos, pickles, green onion, ketchup and mustard, with lots of ketchup. He specified lots of ketchup. So we have jalapenos, pickles, green onion, lots of ketchup and mustard. Jacob, how do we feel about this?
Look, I'm all for a specialty hot dog.
Yeah,
like there's a place in Phoenix, Doghouse, that you can go to that's just got like different hot dogs on deck, right? They've got their run-of-the-mill, you know, chili cheese dog. They've got the pineapple dog. They've got whatever you want, right?
They have a pineapple dog?
It's a hot dog with pineapple and like teriyaki and bacon on it. It's really good.
Okay, that does sound pretty good.
And like green onion can fit into a hot dog like that.
Sure.
But like it seems to me that the hot dog that Seiya Suzuki is eating is just a combination of a bunch of different specialty hot dogs, but none of it makes any sense together. Like jalapenos on a hot dog, sure. Like I'm all for it.
Yeah,
but
in
like,
some situations.
Like
yeah.
Give me maybe some like cheese whiz on the top of it with some jalapenos. Like you can maybe start building something fun there. But
yeah,
if you're mixing jalapenos, mustard, ketchup, pickles, like it just, I don't like pickles to begin with. So that immediately disqualified it for me. But it's just, that's just gross.
Do you like, I have to ask you this, do you like relish?
I hate relish.
Really? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I'm going to get a hot dog, it's usually probably ketchup, mustard, and like some like diced onions on the top.
Okay. Diced onions are definitely a win. I'm with you there. Leah, do you like relish? Am I the only person here that likes relish?
I'm not a relish fan. And also the fact that that person had lots of ketchup makes me think it's not Chicago, because if I learn one thing from Craig Morgan, it's that they don't put ketchup on their hot dogs in Chicago. And also just while I'm on the mic, I'm going to throw my two cents in. I just like a basic ketchup and mustard on a hot dog, like a just, you know, a ballpark hot dog. But if I'm going all out on like a brat or something,
ooh,
which to me is a little different vibes.
Brats are good.
Brats are
but
much
that,
better
that's
than
different.
Hot dogs.
And that,
ooh,
I like, I like
way better.
Time mustard. And that's when I like the peppers and the onions and, you know, that sort of thing. So two different directions.
Can we get a chat response to what Jesse just said? Are brats better than hot dogs?
I would argue it depends on what you're,
really?
You want.
I don't even think that's a debate.
I mean, I like Polish. I get a Polish when I go to the game.
But you'd
like,
have
my
to
go-to
get all
at a baseball
beef.
Game is a Polish with kraut.
Okay.
I do a Polish with kraut.
Interesting.
But like, if I had to choose between a brat and a hot dog, I feel like hot dogs are much more customizable. So they've got a little more versatility. But I'd be curious
Michael
to see
eats
what the...
hot dogs plain. Well, I don't know
there
how
you
I
go.
Feel.
That's also a bold choice.
Charles likes relish.
Relish
oh, and
underrated.
The
there
the
we go.
And the clutch Canuck.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Leah, scroll down. I got to see what people
okay,
are responding
sorry.
To my question.
I'm a
okay,
behind.
Josh's brats are better.
Thank you, Josh. I got so much flack a few months ago when we were talking about how I liked relish. Emma thought relish was horrible. Derek thought
good.
Relish was horrible. I think relish is amazing. I put relish on a burger yesterday. And I am not I am not
Do not
ashamed.
Out yourself like this.
No, I am not ashamed. I put relish on a burger and I thought it was wonderful. All right, what else are people saying? So
brats
Josh,
are better but different toppings.
Sure. That's fair. It's a kind of a different it's kind of a different,
it is a different
experience.
Vibe.
Yeah, it's a different vibe. Anyway, pitching probables for the
hard left turn.
Hard left turn. Pitching probables are out for the Diamondbacks series against the Cleveland Guardians. Today, of course, we said Zach Davies, he'll go up against Cal Quantrill, a former San Diego Padre. There's some history there. Tristan McKenzie and Zach Gallen going tomorrow. They have identical ERAs. What are the odds? And then Shane Bieber and Madison Bumgarner in the series finale. So pretty even pitching matchups.
You almost had two identical
numbers.
ERAs.
Yeah,
there.
397,
394. I mean, this is about as evenly matched as it gets.
It is about as evenly matched as it gets.
I think
as far
I looked
as
at
ERAs
you before
go.
The show started and I said, I think the D-backs win the series.
You did say that, which is another, speaking of bold takes.
It's a bold take. I mean, here's the way I feel about the Diamondbacks right now. And here's the way I felt about how their weekend against the Atlanta Braves went. The Braves, to me, are the same way I feel about the Dodgers, in that it's wow. kind of a reality check where you go into that series and you're like, oh, okay, like we're not necessarily there yet. And they competed in spots, right? Merrill Kelly kept them in that game. The first game, sure. I honestly think, was a much closer game than 5-2 because three of those runs scored via error.
Yeah.
So I thought that game
those,
was...
Those don't count.
Right.
Bad defense
Bad
is
defense
not,
does not count.
It doesn't exist.
Right. But it's just, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like... They do count as unearned runs, right? That
yeah.
game should have been closer without
Very
the lapses in defense.
Though. Very avoidable,
It is avoidable. And so it was one of those, like, hold up, you're not in that echelon yet. If you look at their run differential, a bulk of their run differential, if not all of it, is all against the Dodgers and the Braves. Like, their run differential against those two teams is probably somewhere in the minus 40s.
It might even be worse than that.
Right, minus
against
40.
The
minus,
Dodgers,
and their run differential
really
in total is, like, low minus 40s.
Yeah.
Right now. So, like, to me, they've been competitive against just about every team in Major League Baseball other than those super teams, you know, the teams that have won the World Series in the last
right.
few years or in a spot to compete for the next 5 to 10 years. Those are not the teams I'm comparing the D-backs against. I think the team like the Indians is a more marginal team that's
the
easier. Or, sorry, it's yes, the Guardians. I did flip that.
That mistake was inevitable
yes,
at some point during
yeah.
the show.
The Guardians, my bad. They are a much better team to compare the D-backs against. And
yeah.
so I just have a feeling that they come out and feel a little better to me than they did against the Braves. Like, it just wasn't a fair comparison.
Yeah. And the Diamondbacks got, I mean, I know Ian Anderson's numbers aren't great this year, but he was on point in that second game of that series. And obviously Max Fried is what he is and like, a, you know, a definite Cy Young candidate. And then, you know, the Braves pitching throughout the entire series was really outstanding. So, yeah, it was, yeah, 0.92 ERA for the starting
good
pitchers.
Luck.
Yeah, good luck
good
against
luck.
The Atlanta Braves. I don't think the Diamondbacks are too sad to be leaving no. To be leaving Atlanta. But hey, we're going to jump into some Mailbag Monday questions here in a second. Before I do that, I want to tell all of you about gophnx.com, our lovely website, where you can read all sorts of fascinating articles from yours truly, as well as Gerald Bourget about the Suns, Johnny Venerable covering the Cardinals, Owen Evans on Rising, and so on and so forth. So much good stuff to read over there. So become a member of our family today, and you will either get a free T-shirt from the PHNX locker, like the one that I am donning here today.
I'm donning one under my
Why do you gotta hide it, Jacob? Why are you wearing a jacket anyway?
It's an MLB show, and MLB needs to expand.
Okay.
And so I'm just repping one of those expansion spots.
Fair enough. That's a reasonable explanation. We'll let that slide. You can get a free t-shirt for the PHNX locker if you go with the annual membership. If you go month to month, you'll get your first month for just 50 cents just for signing up. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel at PHNX Sports. That's where you'll find us on YouTube. If you're joining us on YouTube right now, which presumably you are because there's currently no other way to listen to this show. You also could be listening to us after the fact on our audio only show. If you're one of those people, we'd love for you to join us on YouTube in the future. Go over to our PHNX Sports YouTube channel and be sure to subscribe there. But we all know what day it is, Jacob. As Derek would tell you all if he was here, every day is Earth Day on the PHNX Diamondback show. Every week is Shark Week. But on Mondays, we go to the mailbag. Always something interesting in my mailbox. I try to get to everything in my mailbox. And then once in a while, there's a letter that makes me go, wow, wow, my mailbox. I know you all miss. See, you guys miss Jacob doing this like through that entire song.
It's a bop.
It is a bop. It Shout absolutely out is. Shout out Megaran. We love that guy around here. But it is Mailbag Monday, and Leah Merrill is behind the Mac today, and me and Jacob are both semi-blind, so we can't see the questions on the screen. So, Leah,
jeez, Jesse, throw us under the bus.
I am open and honest when I am hosting the PHNX Diamondback show. But Leah, if you could cue up the first question, you can pick pretty much whichever one you want.
I'm
what
just
do we
gonna
got?
Go in the order that I labeled them. So here we go. First up from the Discord, we got Josh Hunt, who I know is here watching. With I don't know how to say this.
Melanson.
I was not gonna say it that way.
Former Arizona Wildcat for anybody who needs to know.
There you go.
Wow, I feel like I should have known that then. With Melanson struggling in these non-save situations, are you looking to bring someone in at the trade deadline to fix that, or do you have a different proposal?
No.
I mean, I wish there was it would make some sort of sense to bring in someone at the trade deadline, but the Diamondbacks are not exactly in a mode where you're trying to go buy relievers at this point. No. So, unfortunately, Josh, I think you might be stuck with Mark Melanson. The Diamondbacks, I mean, really all they could do at this point, I mean, they could release Mark Melanson, as much as I hate to say that. That's pretty much their only option at this point if they don't want to have him on the roster. The guy has lost 9 games. And for people who in the comments are saying things about Mark Melanson, like maybe not wanting him on the roster anymore, I understand where you're coming from, but that's probably not going to happen anytime soon.
No, I think the answer to the D-backs closer situation is probably somewhere in the minor league, somewhere down the road, but you're not looking for a dominant closer right now.
No.
You're not ready for that. When you are ready, we'll let you know.
AJ like, Preller will answer the phone, right?
AJ Preller.
Go call AJ Preller about Josh Hader and see if you can, you know, bring him now from San Diego over to Arizona.
Would Josh Hader, do you think Josh Hader is going to end up being the first $100 million closer? Has there been another $100 million closer? I don't think there has.
That's a good question. I don't think there has. He hasn't had that great of a year this year in terms of ERA. You said earlier ERA is like he gave up 6 runs in one outing, though.
Yeah, so he was at like a 1-3 with 25 saves. And there was two back-to-back outings where he went a third of an inning combined between the two and gave up 9 runs.
Ah,
so that would cause your ERA to just take a little bit of a skyrocket straight up. But the closer situation, I think, is you're looking 2 years into the future at somebody probably in the minor leagues taking that spot.
Yeah. Michael says, I pity the team that's stupid enough to give Hader $100 million, which is fair. I mean, in my book, it's almost never worth it to give a reliever that much money because they're just
such a ball.
Yeah. Yeah. The Rockies would probably be the team to do that. Leah, what do we got next?
All right. Next up from the Discord from Brett, now that Scott Efros of the Cubs is moved, do you think the market on Mantiply heats up? And what do you imagine the return for him could be given his struggles these last few weeks?
The reliever market probably will start to move a little bit more. Scott Efros, I don't know if he was really like a lock to get moved. He has like 5 years of control left. Yeah. So the Cubs really did not have to move him. I guess
I'm pretty sure they were pretty mad at CHGO.
Yeah, yeah, that would not surprise me. Scott F. Ross is a really good pitcher. Yeah,
their thumbnail was "What the F. Ross."
Ah, yeah.
So well, they made. So their they were point not clear. Thrilled about that move.
yeah. So I don't know what this means exactly for the Joe Mantiply market. I still would be. I think it's an under 50% chance personally the Mantiply gets moved. Jacob, I don't know where you're at on that, but. He has several years of control
left. He's got 4 years of control.
Yeah.
To me, that's the name that I'm looking to probably keep here. Like, that's a guy that you have for a while at a good price. And why not see what you have? Because those 4 years probably fits a little bit of your timeline. Like, you'll get him for a couple years that you are expecting to be competitive to me.
Yeah.
So, like,
right.
I think that the amount of time that they have him under contract, it just doesn't make sense to move him.
Sure. I mean, I don't know why you're like so worried about relievers in the future, though, Jacob, because the Diamondbacks always have a bunch of controllable, young, excellent relievers ready to go. No, that is not true.
It's just not true.
Yeah, it is very not true.
That is the one knock I have on Hazen's regime so far is that he just loves himself. Some older receivers that might be on the way out. 38-year-old
closer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Michael says Mantiply is a sell high candidate, in my opinion, which he absolutely is. Mantiply would fetch a lot on the trade market right now. But it's just a matter of if the Diamondbacks get an offer like what they're looking for a guy like Mantiply. So I don't expect it to happen necessarily, but I wouldn't be totally shocked if it did. So we'll have to see. Leah, what do we got next?
All right. Also from the Discord, from Chris. Underrated and overrated baseball stats and why?
Wins. Pitcher wins.
Okay.
Completely overrated.
Yeah.
That is a god-awful statistic.
Is that even overrated at this point, though? Like, don't people kind of know that at this point?
I think average baseball fans look at wins and think, oh, my God, Merrill Kelly has 10 wins. He's the best pitcher ever. And Merrill Kelly's very, very good.
Yeah,
so that's probably
and they're
a bad
right.
example. But then you look at a guy like Zach Gallen, who's got 5 wins.
Sure.
That's probably not his fault. Like
probably not.
You need run support. You have to go a certain amount of innings to qualify versus like a relief pitcher that's got to go a third of an inning to qualify.
Sure.
Like you have to actually rack up stats. So like pitcher wins to me are the lowest barometer of success for a pitcher.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair argument. I would say I'm going to go like full nerd mode here.
Okay.
Yeah, you all knew this was going to happen. This is not a crazy one though. Weighted runs created plus. Have you ever heard of
WRC
this one?
Plus?
WRC plus. There you go. Jacob knows. As well as weighted on base average, which is typically referred to as WOBA. Michael McDermott talked about WOBA as well there
WOBA's,
in the chat.
WOBA's good too. I like FIP.
Yeah. Yeah, and FIP is a great one for pitchers. So yeah, weighted runs created plus and WOBA, those are both great stats to evaluate hitters. They're park adjusted and frankly, they're just better than OPS. OPS is a great like starting point for evaluating players and I use OPS all the time, but it really is a starting point. Like it's very different having an 800 OPS like in Coors Field versus having an 800 OPS like in San Diego or something like that, right? Like OPS doesn't capture differences in ballparks. It also doesn't really like just adding together your on-base percentage and your slugging percentage is like you're kind of implying that like those two numbers have an equal amount of weight to them, which they don't necessarily. So weighted runs created plus and weighted on-base average do a better job of kind of bringing everything together. It's also a really easy number to read because 100 is always league average. And so, you know, 120 is good and 80 is bad, that those sorts of things.
Another deal.
Okay.
Frankie Montas.
Okay. Oakland A's and Lou Trevino to the Yankees. Interesting. All right. Well,
I think the Yankees were the only team that was expected to be in toward the end there. So that's not necessarily the most surprising, but
yeah. Yeah.
Maybe we're going to see some movement since the deadline's been pushed back. Maybe we're going to see some earlier movement than usual.
Yeah. Everyone's like, wait, didn't we have to have these moves done by July 31st? Like everyone's confused.
They're
like,
just
oh,
like,
wait, it's
I don't know what we're
2nd.
Doing.
although I guess that hasn't really happened because there were basically no moves that were made by July 31st. So I don't know what's going on there. Trey Mancini to
Another
Houston.
One.
Interesting. That one kind of disappoints me because the Orioles are playing really well. And I don't really understand why why they're trading a guy like Trey Mancini, who's been there for so many years and is really beloved by that fan base.
But that to me signifies an organization that knows what they're doing. They know that they're not, like, while they're competitive right now, they know that they're not in a space to compete.
Sure.
So, like, moving on from Mancini,
why do you have to be so rational, Jacob?
Like, it's, to me, it's like the David Peralta move, right? You move a guy that's given a lot to the organization, you go give him his best chance to win. Right. Like, I know Tampa's probably not the best chance to win for Peralta, but for Mancini, Houston is a great place to land. I mean, he's probably ecstatic at this point.
Trey Mancini's a great player, and I know Orioles fans really, really love that guy. So I'm sure it's a sad, sad day in Baltimore. But we'll have to see what the return is on that one. What do we got next?
Yeah, let's just get back to the mailbag.
Yeah.
All right. Back to the mailbag. We got from Twitter, what's the best spicy chips? Ooh. From Gabriel.
Derek was really upset that he didn't get to answer this question.
Yeah.
But he gets no say. So jokes on him. Have fun in Disneyland. Loser, we get to answer this question. This is tough. Probably Flamin' Hot Cheetos for me.
Okay.
Just the OG, like, that's the OG spicy chip.
Are you doing the extra Flaming Hot, or are you just doing the
Flaming
Hot?
In college, I did, but my body did not like me for that.
So I don't really enjoy, like, intensely spicy foods myself, so I am not a great person to ask this question to.
What's your level of spice?
You know, I've grown. I can do more than I used to do. When I was a kid, it was mild salsa. I would not touch anything that had the slightest bit of spiciness to it.
I've never had those.
No, I have not either. I ate a fair amount of spicy nacho chips growing up. So, you know, like, they're like the Doritos.
Like the spicy nacho cheese Doritos?
Yeah, the spicy nacho cheese Doritos. And they were probably not very good compared to some of the other things out there. But I haven't had some of the other things out there.
Go ahead, Leah. Have you ever had the Trader Joe's Takis?
Yeah.
Those are really good.
Are Takis good?
Takis are okay.
Trader Joe's ones are really good because they're like chili lime.
And they're probably a little healthier for you.
Probably.
Than regular Takis.
I feel like Trader Joe's just markets themselves healthy, but
they could.
Everything inside of Trader Joe's is healthy. I don't care what it is.
Yeah, I totally agree with Brian in the chat. Always good going down, just not out.
Yeah.
it is just the bane of spicy food.
Yeah.
Is that while it's delicious, and I think spicy food is sometimes better than non-spicy food,
sure,
it does not like me.
Yeah. You kind of pay for it eventually. It's inevitable. All right, Leah, let's do one more and then we'll take a quick break here.
All right. We got from Rick, isn't it time to start cycling some of the pitching prospects through the pen to get their feet wet and see how their stuff plays or doesn't?
I'll let you take this, Jesse.
Yeah, that's a good one. Some of the pitching I think the Diamondbacks have a few pitching prospects that probably will start out in the pen. I think if you see a Dre Jameson or probably a Ryan Nelson at the big league level this season, I think you're probably going to see him in the bullpen. And honestly, it's not out of the question that that's where, one or both of those guys could end up. Dre Jameson is a max effort, I'm going to throw 99. Like, he is that sort of a guy. And so, watching him pitch, he kind of looks like a reliever. Like, he has this like intensity to him. And not to say that can't play. Yeah. Yeah.
You need that from a reliever.
You absolutely do. Yeah. And not to say that he couldn't last as a starter either. I just think, if he is a starter, it's probably more of like a get him through five innings sort of an outlook than, someone who's going to pitch deep into games regularly. But I do think that's likely. In fact, if the Diamondbacks do decide to let go of an Ian Kennedy or a Joe Mantiply in a trade in the next 24 hours, there will be spots to fill. And I don't know if you'd see a Dre Jameson or a Ryan Nelson up immediately. Mm-hmm. That would sort of surprise me. But I think you'd probably see one or both of those guys at some point this year filling those roles.
Yeah, I think just like you, I keep a pretty close eye on the minor league system. And Reno, I feel like, is always just a tough place to judge whether or not like a guy is ready, right? So you look at a few different key stats for a guy, his walk rate, is, you know, anything that he can avoid, right? I feel like that's, for young relievers, that's such a great mark to look at.
You're looking at, like, what do they really control at the end of the day? And their ERA is not really a great measure of that. So.
Right. So, I mean, guys like Ryan Nelson and Drake Jameson, like, it's not, they're not bad late year call-ups, especially if you're out of it and, like, you're just looking to see what you have for the next year. Like, you just never know how a guy's stuff is going to translate to the big leagues.
Yeah.
It's a whole different animal when you get up to the majors.
Yeah, absolutely. Michael made a really good point in the chat. There are some other names in here we should also bring up. He says, I think we'll see guys like Workman, Frias, and Bukauskas before we see Jameson or Nelson in a BP role this year. Yeah, I think that's totally true. And in my mind, I almost don't think of those guys as prospects in some ways because we've like seen them in the majors. But yeah, they're definitely ahead on the depth chart from Jameson or Nelson in
Frias,
my mind.
Frias is a lot like Tommy Henry to me right now in that like he's just doing stuff down in the minors that's like, all right, like in Reno where he's got like a 3-3. But then he comes up to the big leagues and he has issues with walks.
Yeah,
and
so, he just like, can't throw strikes.
He can't throw strikes. But then you get a guy like, I mean, we haven't even thrown out the name Kevin Ginkle.
Yeah,
like
he's
Kevin Ginkle is just dominating.
Kevin Ginkle
he's
is
got
still
like a
in the organization.
ERA.
Yeah,
and he hasn't even gotten called up once this year.
It's pretty crazy. I mean, yeah, that guy has been in this organization for a long time. We were talking about him being the Diamondbacks closer.
They were,
like,
there
a
was
few
a period
ago.
Of time where they were really high on him, and they haven't even pulled him up this year once.
Yeah. So if you see a Mantiply or a Kennedy moved, you know, those are the types of guys that are going to fill those roles first. But wouldn't be surprised to see Dre Jameson or Ryan Nelson up at some point. We'll have to see how things go. All right. Quick word here from OGs. Jacob, were you able to attend the Maya Day Club?
OGs.
What? What? Did I say it wrong?
No, you just, the way you went into that read, it was like, it's like you were like pushing the glasses up and you're like, oh, geez.
All right. Well, continue. Jacob is mocking me over here. But hey, oh, geez, we have free stuff for all of you. Enter the Flavoring Life sweepstakes. This is new. One winner will receive three. Yes, three bags of OGs, including
three.
including orange creamsicle and tropical flavors, an OGs hat. A PHNX shirt of your choice. Wow, we're in this too. And a PHNX annual membership. I'm not appreciating the flack I'm getting in the comments. Sign up at gophnx.com or click the link in our show notes. And as always, be sure to check out OGs online at OGsBrands.com and on Instagram at OGsBrands. You can also find their products at your local dispensary. Must be 21 years or older to purchase. That is a monstrous package of things.
There's a lot of things.
That is a lot of things.
A lot of great things.
A lot of wonderful things.
Like, people should 100% sign up for that sweepstakes.
Absolutely. And then beyond that, I also want to give a quick word for Four Peaks, which, of course, we had a blast hanging out at Four Peaks last Wednesday doing all of our shows there. Jacob, can you attest to the wonderful chicken tenders as well as I can?
The chicken tendies have gotten me a lot of flack in this office space, especially
How
by
you get flack
a person who
tendies?
I won't name, Bo Brock.
Which is
who
funny
says,
because literally every single member of our staff ordered chicken tenders.
Yeah, right. It was kind of funny. It was like a table with like eight orders of chicken tenders.
But the tendies are probably the most elite thing that they have on their menu.
Yeah.
I mean, their beers are probably the most elite thing that they have on their menu. But like the tenders in terms of food, it's hard to beat that on their menu.
The chicken tenders honestly look like fish and chips, which is amazing because
they give you like nine of them.
Yeah. and it's like, because you know, like the batter, like the, I don't know, there's something about fish and chips that just like, it's usually like a better experience than chicken tenders. I don't know. If you don't get the chicken tenders at Chase Field, everyone, they're just not very good. But the chicken tenders.
Well, Gonzo's Grill isn't good.
Do they have different chicken tenders at Gonzo's Grill?
I think they have probably the same chicken tenders.
Okay.
Well, no,
they've just
have
had
sauce,
the chicken tenders at Red
chicken
Hot
tenders
or whatever it is.
At Gonzo's Grill.
Oh, okay.
But not even close. to what they have at Four Peaks.
The point is, yes, the Four Peaks chicken tenders are far and away the best chicken tenders you will find on the planet. Gabriel says, can't wait for my $50 Four Peaks card to arrive. Yeah. I'm going to get tenders and get lit. Yes, you do that, Gabriel. Yeah, Gabriel won the our Four Peaks sweepstakes, if I'm not mistaken.
He did. So I think so.
Congratulations to Gabriel.
Yes,
that was a big, big win for him. All right, back to Mailbag Monday. We'll take a few more questions here to finish things off. Chasefield Tendy sad. Four Peaks Tendies rad.
Accurate.
This is why we keep you around, Charles. This is why we need you here. Anyway, what is our next question?
Okay, next question from Twitter from Miguel. Who's the first outfielder you call up now that Peralta is gone? I feel like there's 3 to 4 candidates that make a strong case.
Stone Garrett, but also Kevin Ginkle just got selected for Marino as we were literally ranting about how he hadn't been selected for Marino.
Seth Beer recalled.
Beer.
You know, we have some amazing Seth Beer t-shirts, everyone, that just became so much more relevant in the last 30 seconds. So you should go over to the PHNX locker right now and check those out because they are absolutely incredible. This is big, though.
This is fun.
Seth Beer is a guy that actually we didn't wind up talking about this, but that was literally on our show rundown for today because Seth Beer has been rumored in the last few days as being someone that the Diamondbacks would consider calling up. And it sounds like he'll probably be maybe not totally every day in this role, but he'll probably be the DH for the Diamondbacks, like in general, which I guess means that Ketel Marte is going to have to start playing second base. Big news here, Jacob. How do we feel about Seth Beer back in the majors as the Diamondbacks DH probably most of the time?
I'm probably the wrong person to ask about a lot of D-backs prospects. I know a lot about them, but I'm also just super high on a lot of people. Like, I just think that they have a really good farm system, and I'm, you know, I want the best for every single player that they have coming up because that's just the fan in me.
Sure.
I was doing some calculations before the show, and I believe over his last 10 games in Reno, Seth Beer was hitting .394.
So if you put it, you know, if you factor in the Reno adjustment, it's probably like about 250,
280,
maybe.
250, yeah. Somewhere in there. Yeah. So I love Seth Beer's bat. I think he came up, he started hot, but a lot of those hits were just finding the right hole. Like, it was not a lot of them were hard hit. They were just finding space, right? Wherever
he had
grass was
for a little while
so
there.
And even when he got down to Reno, he struggled a lot as well.
Yeah.
So, like, for him to finally start picking back up, I think his numbers for the year in Reno are something like 250 with a 380 on base percentage. So he just started picking that average back up. And I think that the team is finally feeling like his hard hit rate was coming back up, and so that it was time to maybe see what he could do back in the majors, because that is a big piece. I mean, that was probably the cornerstone piece with Corbin Martin in the Greinke trade. And so you're not going to give up on a bat like that so easy, a bat that's had a track record of success everywhere it's gone in the minor leagues.
Yeah, for sure.
And showed signs of life even in Phoenix.
Yeah. I mean, there was lots of life on opening day. That is for sure. That is about, that is as loud as we've heard that stadium for quite a while. That was an incredible day. Here's the full list of roster moves. This is a heck of a roster.
How many roster spots did they have?
They did a lot here. So I'll give you guys the quick rundown for those who don't know. So they reinstated Zach Davies from the 15-day injured list, which we expected. He's making the start today. They recalled infielder Seth Beer from AAA Reno. They selected right-handed pitcher Kevin Ginkle from AAA Reno. So those are your three players coming in. And then your three players going out, they placed left-handed pitcher Caleb Smith on the 15-day injured list with a fractured right hand. Ooh. That's interesting. I had
his
not
right hand.
Yeah, his right hand. So not
has
his,
to be non-baseball related.
Potentially.
Probably.
Yeah, that's not his throwing hand. Obviously, he's a lefty. They also option infielder Yanni Hernandez to Reno following yesterday's game, and he will remain on the taxi squad. And then lastly, this is interesting. They optioned right-handed pitcher Corbin Martin to Reno following yesterday's game. So you bring up Seth Beer and you send down Corbin Martin. So there is a lot that just went down for the Diamondbacks here in this roster move.
No, and I think the Corbin Martin one is interesting. I think that's probably the biggest thing that I'm intrigued by there because to me it felt like Corbin Martin was going to be a guy that they wanted to see what they had for the rest of the year. Like, I don't know, for starting pitchers, it's just really hard to get on a regular schedule if you're constantly going back and forth between Reno and the majors. And so that one disappoints me a little bit in that I wanted them to ride with it and see maybe like, this is your time, right? He's 26. He's been in the minor leagues for a while. Like, he's shown success at a few different levels. Just see what you have. What do you have to lose? But I guess the Davies thing, and it could just be that Davies is auditioning today and there's a move tomorrow and you see Corbin Martin next week. Like, you could just have to make room for Davies for the day. And that's an interesting point by Michael there. Tommy Henry lines up with Martin's rotation spot. So that could be another thing where they're just making maybe a competition to see what they have between the two guys. But you know,
I mean, to be frank, Corbin Martin, I don't know if I mean, you don't want to read too much into two starts, right? I mean, it's such a limited sample, but the guy really struggled.
He did struggle to find the zone.
It was kind of like a, I don't know if you can have this guy in the majors for very long sort of a look. Like, it was pretty rough for him. And yeah, as Michael points out, Corbin Martin can't be called up for at least 10 days unless there's an injury. So, and they do have more provisions in the CBA now for, like, you know, excessively bringing guys up and then sending them down and then bringing them up again and so on. So it's going to be a while before we see Corbin Martin again. It does seem likely that Tommy Henry is probably going to take that spot in their starting rotation. So,
and this is all bearing Zach Davies gets moved.
Well, I mean,
is there an open spot now?
There is an open spot because you don't have Tyler Gilbert anymore.
Yep.
And you just sent down Corbin Martin. So you've got two spots in the rotation, one of them for Zach Davies and then one of them theoretically for Tommy Henry. So you excited to potentially see what Tommy Henry looks like in the big leagues?
I've been excited to see what Tommy Henry looks like since I watched him pitch in the College World Series.
I did watch him pitch in
the College World Series. I was really excited about that pick because I think he's a lefty arm that's not overpowering, but I think something that I really love when pitchers have the ability is like the ability to just have precision command.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Tommy Henry's biggest ability is like, he is just a precision pitcher like Merrill Kelly, right? Merrill Kelly doesn't overpower guys. I mean, he can lump it up to 93, 94, but he works on precision alone. And Tommy Henry to me is the epitome of that just from the lefty side. And so, I'm really excited to see what he can do. I hope he gets a shot this year. I think he will. But I've definitely followed him for a really long time.
Yeah. He's definitely, you're right. Don't expect Tommy Henry to come up and like throw 98 and, you know, he's not that kind of a pitching prospect, but he's the kind of guy where, you know, his command and his arsenal of different pitches could definitely land him as like a, you know, mid, maybe back of the rotation starter when all things are said and done, which there's a lot of value in, you know, a guy in the middle of the rotation who can provide that sort of value. So Brian in the comments says, beer coming up, does that mean Walker is gone? I'm going to say no on that. Not to say that Walker couldn't be moved, but
he's played himself out of it at this point.
You're not going to play Seth Beer at first base very much.
Nobody is batting seventh today.
Beer is batting seventh?
Yeah, according to somebody in the chat, I can double check on that.
Is Beer starting at first base today?
Which I'm calling my shot that Seth Beer is hitting a home run tonight.
Oh.
I will just go out and say, if he is in the lineup, and let me qualify that, if he's in the lineup, like it's...
He's going to homer from the bench.
Yes, he will hit a home run tonight if he is in the lineup.
I would be surprised if Seth Beer is starting at first base today. My guess is that he'll be in there.
They have not tweeted out the lineup yet.
Gabriel says it could be just to fill the DH spot that Peralta would take. Yeah, the D-backs have a little bit more room now that David Peralta isn't in there. He's, Jake McCarthy was DHing off and on. Do we have a lineup for
today? He's DHing, yeah.
Okay.
DHing, and Christian Walker is playing first base.
Okay. Yeah, so Seth Beer hitting seventh today, DHing. So we're all excited to, of course, see what he has to offer in the lineup now that he's back up. One interesting ramification of this is that Ketel Marte is probably going to have to play second base. I assume is Ketel in there at second base today in the
Ketel
lineup?
Ketel is playing second base.
Okay, so... And that's something that like Ketel has started doing a little bit more of lately. But to be frank with you all, Ketel doesn't look real good at second base these days. The defense is not what it used to be.
It's so weird to me.
Yeah.
Because he was a good defender at second base.
Yeah. He was like an above average defender
and then he made the request to move to center field.
Well, I don't know if he made that request. I think that was more out of necessity. And then he requested to go back to second base after that happened.
What I know, I think he asked.
He asked to go to center field?
From what I know, he was interested in playing center field.
I think he was interested. I maybe you're right. I was not aware that he like initiated that. I thought that was more out of necessity, but
and he was a good defender in center
field. He was a good defender in center field.
Like, Diamondbacks fans don't realize how blessed they've been with good defensive center fielders over the course of just the history of Diamondbacks baseball.
Yeah.
And Ketel Marte was like no slouch out there either.
Yeah.
So to me, it makes no sense how he makes the move back to second base, a historically not extremely hard defensive position.
No.
And even like, I mean, you see guys like Orlando Hudson, great second baseman. But like Ketel should be good.
Yeah.
Defensively. So I don't know if this year is just an enigma.
Yeah.
Or like if he just is like not fully committed to being, and like I don't want to be like that guy, but like maybe he just isn't like, maybe coming from center field back to second base is like, oh, I'm going back to an easier defensive position than center field.
Yeah.
Like I don't have to, you know,
I don't have to do as much. Sure.
Whatever it is, he's got the talent to play at second base. Like there's no question about that. I think he might just be having a down year defensively. Like I think this might just be a fluke.
Well, people are making some good comments here that Spencer Ogara says, yikes, the idea of Ketel at second and Beer at first, no stopping balls on that. Yeah. I mean, that's, to me, you can't have that. Like, I don't know if you can even have one game where Seth Beer and Ketel Marte is the right side of the infield. I mean, that's just a disaster on the defensive side of things. So yeah, this is interesting to see how the Diamondbacks play this. I still feel pretty confident that Christian Walker is going to stay here, most likely just because I don't think other teams are going to value him as much as the Diamondbacks do. He's really struggled offensively over the last week or two anyway, which has probably not increased his value at all. So most likely Christian Walker is still here, and you still can kind of get away with having a Ketel and Christian Walker right side of the infield. So we'll have to see what happens there. We've gotten completely off of Mailbag Monday here, but Leah, let's do one more question.
Okay,
left turn.
Just one more, so I get to choose which one it's going to be.
Yeah.
I mean, we've already been on here for like 50 minutes.
Yeah,
so.
Okay. So I just looked through the last four, so I already know which one I'm going to choose.
Okay.
So
let's do it.
This is the last one from Spencer. If you could run the team for a day and only make one change, what would you alter and why?
Ooh.
People might hate me for mine.
People are going to love me for mine. So you go, Hugo first.
I mean, I'm huge on the farm system, so I'm making every trade possible in the next day. Like, I'm trading away Christian Walker. I'm trading away Mantua.
Okay, you get one change. That's not like
a... When you start, I'll think about what I want to do.
Right. Mine is going to be a complete win with everyone in the comments and really everyone in the universe. Bring back purple and teal. It's not that complicated.
Ooh, that is a good one.
There is no singular move that you could make in the Diamondbacks front office than bringing back purple and teal in order to... like galvanize the fan base, like get people actually interested in Diamondbacks baseball who have maybe kind of vegged out over the last decade or so. It's bring back purple and teal. It's not that complicated.
Yeah, that would probably have been mine, but I'll make another bold one. Chase Field, I am just not a big fan.
Sure.
So I am moving stadiums. Maybe if you build something out in Scottsdale, over by Talking Stick, over by where they've got their spring training facilities. I think that seems to make a lot of sense, and it's probably on their radar if they were ever to make a move. But I am getting rid of Chase Field, and I am moving to Scottsdale and or wherever they can find the space to build a new stadium, because right now Chase Field is just not it.
It's like, it's the airplane hangar with the swimming pool.
It's just not it.
That's
and I'm
it
getting rid of a pool. That is just, I'm just not spending $10,000 to go sit at the pool. So, yeah, no, I would want a new stadium because I think that in the National League West, you have some phenomenal baseball stadiums in San Diego, in San Francisco, in Colorado, and in Los Angeles, and you are just the bottom tier stadium sitting in Chase Field. So, obviously you still have to have a roof, but you have the ability to at least make something cool if you were to make a move right now.
Mm. Low Tone Capone says bring back Peralta. Oh, man. Too soon. Jacob, have you made any good bets on the DraftKings Sportsbook app recently?
No, not myself, but Sean can attest to you that I am his baseball whisperer when it comes to home runs. Oh. And there was a...
So everyone should bet on Seth Beer home run tonight?
There was a chat earlier on when I made that prediction. Josh Hunt, I believe, said if Jacob is saying that you should bet on it, you should probably go bet on it. And this is not to toot my own horn, but I am 3 for 3 this year when giving Sean advice on guessing home runs.
Wow.
Like,
have you
given
anyone else advice? Is it just a,
it's
like,
just
you and Sean
right now? It's just a me and Sean thing.
Okay.
And it started as nothing, but maybe it's becoming something. I don't know. So let's just go through. I've given Alec Thomas's home run when we went to the game.
Right.
Like, we went to that game and I gave Sean the advice to bet on an Alec Thomas home run. And so I gave him that one. And then I gave him, I believe, the Ketel Marte home run when Ketel hit a 3-run home run. Just recently, it was right after the All-Star break. It was the game that Sean had 9 hot dogs at.
Oh, yes.
So,
can't forget that
so
one.
So the Ketel Marte home run that day. And then when we were at Four Peaks last week, I called it Josh Rojas home run.
Oh.
And Josh Rojas hit a home run that day.
There you go.
So, Seth Beer, just if you're thinking about it tonight.
You're such a giving person, Jacob. You just know all these things and you're just willing to
allow see the future.
People. Yeah.
I just see the future.
It's very, very generous of you. Anyway, you also download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code PHNX, make your first deposit, and get a risk-free bet of up to $1,000. Maybe you want to throw it on Seth Beer homering tonight. I don't know. That's promo code PHNX, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Jacob, we also have a new friend of ours, a new sponsor here at PHNX, which is none other than our friends at FOCO. We are all desperately missing bobbleheads this baseball season, given the fact that they're are none on the Diamondbacks promotional schedule. So get your bobblehead fix with FOCO. They are a leader in sports, merchandise, and collectibles. FOCO has got you covered with the best Arizona merchandise. They have officially licensed gear for men, women, and kids, and everything from bobbleheads to swimsuits to Crocs. Quite a bit of variety there. Head on over to FOCO.com or click the link below in the description. For all non-presale items, use the promo code PHNX. For 10% off. I miss bobbleheads, Jacob. We need more bobbleheads in the office. We need more just like in general.
I do want the Zach Gallen t-shirt. It's a great giveaway.
That is a great giveaway.
That's a side point.
August.
But yes, I do
6th.
Miss bobbleheads. What's your favorite bobblehead on that you've ever gotten?
I have a few. I honestly don't have that many. Growing up, I would always try to like go to the really cheap Diamondbacks games, and the bobblehead nights were always like, you know, like, oh, it's a free bobblehead, but the ticket costs twice as much. Like, it's not really a free bobblehead. So I have a few. I think the Robbie Ray strikeout counter bobblehead was one of the best ones. I think they did one with Ketel where he was like, I think you get like a left-handed or right-handed one because
that's
he's a
good
switch
one
hitter, right? So those are a couple that I remember over the years. But what about you, Jake?
I really liked the Archie Bradley commemorative like triple bobblehead.
Ooh, yeah.
The one where you can play the different calls. It's super cool. And then you can like, there's like one of them, which is the, it plays the sound of the stadium, like chanting Archie, 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 Archie. Mm. Also like Archie Bradley was a memory. Like that just is like, whoa, blast from the past there for a second.
Yeah.
That is a great bobblehead. And I still have that one kind of up in a spot. Like that is one of my favorite bobbleheads. But none of them are as cool as FOCO's.
Yeah.
FOCO's are cool.
They are pretty amazing. I hear you can get a Serpientis bobblehead, which honestly would be like one of the greatest things ever. So you all should absolutely go and get that. And you can use promo code PHNX and get 10% off your order. So be sure to get on that. We've been here for almost an hour and all sorts of moves are starting to happen. So we better go and make sure that all of the Jeff Passan tweets that we are here to consume them right in the moment that they arrive. But anyway, thank you all to you for submitting questions. We'll try to archive some of these for next week's show. I know we didn't quite get to everything today, but we very much appreciate all of you tuning in. We will be back tomorrow. Big show tomorrow. We're going to actually move it to 3 p.m. so that we are live right when the trade deadline happens. We'll be live then to break down whatever the Diamondbacks do in the next 24 hours. And where Juan Soto gets moved or sort of whatever other things happen between now and then. Should be a fun show tomorrow, breaking all of that down. But thank you all again for tuning in. We really appreciate you being here with us. And remember, kids, baseball is fun, but it's so much more fun when the trade deadline is actually active.